I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
Try to start at the end and work toward the beginning because, it seems like we say it every year, and I hope everybody takes it to heart, but we just had a tremendous time at WrestleCade. Tracy Myers and his folks just put on such a good show, and it's always just a great vibe. It's a great...
It's always a different vibe, but it's always a great vibe.
Yeah, and I think we always like, well, I don't know, the magic's going to be gone or people are going to be coming, but people line up. It's a great combination between the old school and the new stuff. I'll say this about the AEW guys, because I've criticized the AEW fans a lot for a lot of different reasons, which I think are legitimate. But a lot of the AEW guys do have a good sense of the history of the sport, and they tend to know who a guy like Larry Matisick would be or a guy like Roy Shire would be. And they do have a respect for some of the people we see there, like a Greg Valentine or people like that. So, I mean... And it's always nice because we always, as wrestling fans, we kind of are bad about shitting on each other. But the wrestling fans are always super cool. Everybody,
they really
nice
are,
to each
man.
Other. Everybody's really patient, and they make a point of like treating the performers there with respect, and trying to understand. You have a conversation with somebody, but you also understand this is people's living. And if if you want to have a few words with somebody, you can slide them $20 for a picture or whatever. Everybody kind of understands that. So it's just a fantastic vibe. It's something that's why we keep coming back. We always realize how fortunate we are to have this right in our backyard. Because we do have people that were traveling from Chattanooga, Tennessee and Richmond, Virginia, and all over the place to come to this thing. And we're just so fortunate to have it right in our backyards. And that's why, you and I have supported it for over a decade now.
And literally, yeah.
Even as work schedules become like ridiculous and life steps in, we'll always try to go to at least some portion of it every single year.
It just doesn't seem like it used to be this difficult trying to arrange things back in the day, man. We were working, but it's just like the way it fell. I mean, just, it was perfect,
Next year may be the year where I just pop and I get the hotel room a couple miles away or whatever. And we just try to do everything we possibly can, go to every show and all that shit. Cause it's, shit like that. You never know when it's going to go away.
I know, man. That's the thing, man. And honestly, I thought it would have been gone by now. I'm really very grateful and surprised at the same time that it's really still here. Not that because of how much business it does, because it seems to get bigger. The crowds get bigger every year.
That's kind of like when you and I roll up there every year, we're like, I don't know if it's going to be as big this year. And then the lines are just bananas.
Oh, just snaking around the whole freaking lobby, man. You can't find the end of it.
So it's cool as a commercial enterprise, which is kind of that's the whole situation there. If people don't continue to support it with their dollars, it's going to go away. And the people still lined up and they want to spend their money because it becomes – Tracy's just got this thing where he figures out what people want and he gives it to them.
I mean, yeah, he really does. He really does.
You can complicate it with a lot of this shit like these people do with, these books that they read by Steve Jobs or Zig Ziglar, this Warren Buffett shit or whatever. And he just kind of simplifies like, this is what people want. They tell me what they want. I listen to them and this is what I give them. And he does it every year. So
every year, man. And starting with, it used to be just this one. Well, we go way back and tell you what the size of the room was. But lately, in the last few years, it's just been this one big, I don't know, what do you call it? Like, I don't want to say conference room. It's really big.
It's a ballroom. It's like a
ballroom. There you go. Okay. And then this year, they've upped it to three different rooms with two of them actually linking together where you don't have to walk out of the room and then into another. You can just kind of slide into the other room through a connector door there. But you... Well, two things, man, before I forget, because you made me think of two things when you were saying all that. First of all, let me go back to talk when you said that about people coming to WrestleCade from everywhere. And it seems like, you know, every time you turn around, every year you hear somebody, I don't know, just in conversation, standing in line or some talking to somebody or whatever that has come from somewhere well outside this area. You know, they drove at least a couple of hours or so. And really more, I'm going to say another state, because every time I hear somebody from another state, a different state each year. So, and I was just going to say this year, it must have been at least three occasions. And it, you know, you and I didn't really stand in one place very long.
No.
Anywhere the whole time. So I don't know where it was. It was in passing somewhere. I heard at least three different people just in passing say, yeah, I came in from such and such Nebraska or such Minnesota or flew down from Maine. You know, I was like, I'm like, God dang, you know? So yeah, that surprises me along with just the fact that it's there. So the word has gotten out. Okay. I think it's taken a little bit. I think the pandemic kind of slapped it in the face a little bit, but I think between word of mouth and social media, people around the freaking world know about WrestleCade right now. I mean, they really do.
Even though, you know, it's the last couple, 2.5 years have been extremely challenging for everybody. But, hey, we soldier on, man. We still got this thing going. And people, when they get a chance to support this thing, line up.
Oh, they're there, dude. For the whole thing. I mean, for every event, too. That's like record-breaking attendance stuff this year. You know, for the Friday night thing they had. And for the people on Saturday, the meet and greets and all. Then the Saturday night showcase, they said that was the best show. I mean, Brad Stutz, you probably saw this, said it was probably the best WrestleCade show he's ever seen there. So, I mean, what does that say? So
that Saturday night card was bananas.
The Saturday night card was just crazy good. Just, I missed
that. I hate it as well, but man, that thing is fantastic. And I know they're going to put something good together again next year. You're going to have, it doesn't matter what style of wrestling that you like, you're going to get a chance to experience it. And I'm, you know, hats off, and you know, I'm looking forward already to next year, planning ahead and trying to see what I need to do to get my days off and all my ducks in a row for all that shit. So it's going to be
super. If anybody can make it out there, man, I mean, Rich Fan, ask him, you know, he came down from Pittsburgh, you know, and he loved it. And I'm hoping he'd comes back soon. And we need to get our boy Travis up here.
Yeah.
And some of those guys, but
Travis would have a blast. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. God, yes. Yeah, I know. Well, and one other thing before we kind of go to the next thing, but I was going to say, when you mentioned, Tracy kind of catering to the fans.
Yeah.
I was actually reading this morning, they were responding to one of the things WrestleCade Tracy posted on, I think it was Facebook, that said something. One of the things I was saying about it is a record event, thanking everybody for coming out, blah, blah, blah. And everybody was, you know, like, yeah, it was a great time, blah, blah, blah. Just all these positive comments. And then this one person says, I was a little disappointed in things, you know, da da da, and didn't really specify. And
but dude, so Tracy, you know, there's always one of those people.
Always,
right?
Always. You know, it just never fails, man. But in fairness, if it was worded in a different way, the man did make a little sense. Okay, but what I was gonna say is Tracy responded. I'm assuming it was Tracy. It was WrestleCade that responded with a. Oh, really? How so? I mean, we're always interested in knowing what, you know, just what each year try to improve on things and blah, blah, blah. What you just said about, you know, him catering to fans. And it was very well written. It wasn't no snark in there or anything. You know, it was, you know, nice response. And then he says, please specify what you mean. And they were actually talking about something you and I kind of bitched about a few times, including this year, is the fact of as much as I praise them on expanding the room situation and that sort of thing, the line situation sometimes to these people gets a little nuts.
It does.
And I think some of the placement of these people, they need to kind of rethink strategically where they place some of these guys and girls so they don't mix and match. And they were just, because people were, once they saw what this guy was bitching about, people responded like, yeah, we were standing in line to see Big Show. And we just said, F it. Cause once we got to like the middle, we couldn't figure out which line we were in, because they were mixing up with something. And there was another, it was like two or three different ones with two or three different people. It wasn't just Big Show, it was different people. So I think he took that to heart. I didn't see his response to it, if there was a response, but I think that is a legitimate, I don't want to say gripe, but it's a legitimate complaint, I guess. They need to kind of rope it off or so, you know, something. But they just need to maybe need to strategically place these people where they need to be and not jam them up like that. But other than that, man, it was great. I can't really think of anything.
We had a super fun time. And like I said, we'll always be back to support it as much as we possibly can. And if Tracy ever wants to know what I think, I'm always there for you.
No shit.
No, I really like the product that he puts out. I'll tell you this. It's the highest. I would consider buying a car from that man.
You know, I would too.
I would strongly consider buying a car from that man. That's how
I miss those commercials now.
We'll start at the end because over the years, we've seen a number of panels on Sunday, World-Class Championship Wrestling, the Smoky Mountain Reunion. There's been several others that we've seen that have been just a lot of fun. And this year it was the TNA one from last year. I almost forgot about that one, which was a blast. We really had a great time with TNA
guys. It was really better than we thought it was going to be, honestly, right?
It was. It turned out to be very good because Bill Barron's decided he was going to get his shit in.
That was it, man. It's like, icing on cake.
Dude, who told you to get your shit in? It was fantastic. This year was the
Omega. He went into business for himself.
This year was the Omega Wrestling people, the organization for modern extreme grappling arts. That was the.
Did you know that? Did you know that whole story?
I knew some of it. Okay. And I said to Brian, well, I'm going to go ahead and get the ticket. He said, well, I don't know much about Omega. I said, well, I don't know a lot about it. I know a little bit. I know it was the Hardys. And I know this was the beginning of kind of what they came back to with deletion and everything like that. And so, yeah, so we went there and they had some of the guys. I think most everybody knows. Maybe they don't. The Hardys, when they were just little 15, 16-year-old kids, started this wrestling promotion really kind of in their backyard down in Cameron, North Carolina. And they eventually called it Omega. And they started it with some friends of theirs and it kind of grew. And then all of these people over the years kind of came out of that and they've had tremendous careers, not only Matt and Jeff Hardy, but also Shannon Moore and Hurricane Helms. And now through a second generation, you got Cameron Grimes, Caprice Coleman, who I didn't even know was part of the deal, but he's
me neither.
He was the very first trainee of the Omega Wrestling School, if you will. So they had
another couple of names they had before Omega, and they eventually kind of made it became Omega, right?
Yeah, eventually. So we went to the Omega thing, not really knowing what to do, and we just had a really good time. And I was hoping that Marty Champagne Garner was going to be on the panel. And when Champagne was announced, I was like, "Oh yeah, now we're set." This guy. I
gotta be honest, man. I really didn't know much about this guy. I've seen the name. I don't know where I've seen it, but I really didn't know much about him.
I've told you this before, and I truly mean it. When you talk about the Carolina Indie Worker Hall of Fame, and I listed it on the Katie Vick account earlier, you got to put Marty in. Like, if there was a Hall of Fame building for Carolina Indie Workers, Marty Garner goes in the first class. I mean. I listed who it should be. I'm putting Rick Converse in there. I'm putting Rob McBride in there. I'll put Jeff and Matt in there, even though as far as their indie cred, yeah, I mean, they started the thing, but they're more, you know, big league guys than anything else. I put Brad Attitude in there.
Yeah.
I put all of those guys belong in the Carolina Indie Worker Hall of Fame. And Marty Champagne Garner, there was a period of time in this state where – you could not be an indie promoter in the Carolinas without hiring this guy. You just couldn't. You had to have this dude on your show. He was consummate worker. You heard him talk shit during the panel, so you know what that's all about. This dude was crazy. That
promo he cut, man. He
fucking lived the gimmick, and we're going to have him on the show. I met him probably, I want to say it was 16 or 17 years ago. Because I think he went to high school with my buddy John Carter, who went by the air name of John Matthews when I worked with him on the radio in Greensboro. And John Matthews is one of these guys, you've heard his voice because he does a million voiceovers. It's one of those things where I've been walking into Walmart, heard just a row of TVs, and there's fucking John Carter's voice coming out of the speakers, pitching for whatever a truck or something, just whatever product it is. I took a trip many years ago to Oklahoma City to go see Pearl Jam. And I'm cruising through fucking Arkansas, and I'm in Fort Smith, Arkansas, tooling around. And there's John Carter's voice coming out of the speakers as like the station voice for this ESPN sports station. And he does like so many voiceovers and shit. So John and Marty are buds going way back. And I was at a bar in downtown Greensboro. Matter of fact, it was Natty Green's. Matter of fact, it was upstairs at Natty Green's. And I say, hey, John, what's up? I say, yeah, meet my man. Oh, I was like, oh, it's fucking Marty. It's Marty Gar. Of course I've heard of you. And I shook his hand and everything. And it was, you know, he was everything that you thought he would be. And then some people know the story about Marty as he went on to be The Rock's personal assistant for many, many years. Like, he was The Rock's what they call the body man.
I Rock this needs, for him.
He needs a Rock needs a paper towel. Rock needs a toilet. He needs some tissue. he needs whatever. He needs a passport. Hey, Marty, hang on to my wallet. Hey, Marty, whatever. He's The Rock's personal assistant. He did that for many, many years. He was The Rock's right hand motherfucking man going around the world.
Say he went to what kind of he,
they went the to this when it, The Rock became a Samoan chief when he was when he became a Samoan chief. It's a big fucking very, you know, it's a ceremony that goes back centuries. Right. I mean, it's a very solemn thing. That tattoo that is all over The Rock's body tells his life story. That is sacred to the Samoan people, man. It's sacred to the tribe. I know they've used the tribal chief thing as a work and the business, and they're fine with that. But this is like really serious shit. And they have people, and they made
this is
like,
a shoot, brother.
This is for real. And he's got like thousands of people, man. And and Marty was fucking there, right by Dwayne Johnson, as he's being elevated to being a Samoan high chief.
And when he was telling the story, it's like you could tell in his voice that how much in awe he pretty much still was at being there. You know, you could just hear it the way he was telling the story.
Because you don't even know what that's going to be. And then you walk in and you're like, oh, shit, this is like this goes back like for, like I said, centuries. And these people
and how many people did he say was there? It's like the whole freaking island was
thousands
there, literally.
Tens of thousands of people, man. And they're like, this is like for real. This ain't no joke, man. This is a very sacred, solemn, like, this is like, we got a new pope or something like that. It's like a huge fucking deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Marty was there. Marty's on the set with fucking Rock and Walking Tall. Well, they're making Walking Tall with Johnny Knoxville and everything. And he's there with him. And now I'm not sure what Marty's doing now, but we're going to catch up with him when we get him on the podcast. But I'm telling you, this dude was.
Man, I can't wait. Oh, dude.
Consummate worker, needs to write a book. I mean, there's shit that this dude has done in his life that people would not fucking believe. They were just not, he was hardcore, awesome indie worker. I mean, a worker in every sense of the world, talking shit and swallowing spit. Man, this dude is the man. And it was so cool to catch up with him afterwards when the panel was over. I said, hey, yeah, I met you here. He goes, dude, you look familiar to me. I went, yeah, I'm a little less fat than I used to be. And he was super cool, and I got his number, and he wants to be on the podcast, and he wants to catch up and shit, and I'm looking forward to having him on here. For those of you that don't know about Champagne, because, man.
Oh, what was it that Caprice Coleman said about when The Rock said Champagne and some of the promos that he did and shit?
Okay, he'd say something like Champagne, he'll sign like, off on
it. Yeah.
There was one part of this panel where they wanted Marty to do some of his rap, and he did some of his shit.
That's what I'm talking about, that damn promo he did.
Did you see Caprice when he was doing that promo?
Yes. Caprice was like pumping his fist. He's like, yes.
Shit. This is my shit. Oh, I'm telling you. The way, like, you know, the way that I revered Rick Converse and still do. I still look up to Rick Converse.
Oh, both of us do, this. Man. I love him.
That's, you know... Marty is on that level. Marty is on that level with me and with a lot of people. He's on that level of like, man, this dude, he's the real shit. You put him on. If you are like I said, before we even knew what fucking indie wrestling was, you put this man on your card. You book this man, you put him on your card, and you put him on the top half of the card. And most likely you're going to put him in the main event, and the shit is going to work. And they're going to want him back.
I mean, oh, for sure. I believe it. I believe that.
That dude is, he was awesome. And getting to catch up with, because I went with it. He was talking about rapping. I knew, like, John Carter, the dude I was talking about, had made beats for him. Because John's he's very good electronic musician. He puts together all kinds of beats.
Yeah.
Dude, he was like you and me back in the day. John Carter was, as far as being radio nerds, he would like rap and shit to get on G105, and they put him on the night show on G105 and make him and have him rap and do raps and stuff like that. That's how crazy this dude was.
Okay.
So John, I knew John had made those beats for him. And I went up to Mario. I said, "Man, I knew who made those beats for you when you were rapping. That was John Carter made them beats for you." He was, "Oh yeah, man, yeah." That's when we kind of connected and shit. And
I think wrestlers in general like that love it when you bring up like little tidbits of shit that people never bring up. You know, not the same old bullshit. And I think that lit him up too. You know,
which brings me to me blowing it with Matt Hardy. But you've seen the tweet since then, right? On my personal account, right?
Which one?
Oh, Matt Hardy tweeted me last night, bro.
No.
A 1.5 million fucking followers on the Britt Whitmire account, dude.
Motherfucker. Listen.
Okay.
Why didn't you tell me this?
I thought Mr. Twitter, I thought you'd seen this shit, dude.
Man, you know what I was doing last night.
You were busy as fuck. And then you were like snoozing because you had a day, brother. You had a day, man, that started at like 10. It probably ended about 10 or 11.
It started with Marty Garner and it ended with the women heels, you know?
So before I said hi, so when the panel was over and they told great stories, I mean, really awesome stories. And it reminded me like, to me, this was the genesis and what they were trying to capture with CWF when you and I love CWF. That's what Omega was all about, man. It was those guys.
And yeah, those I missed all when it was going on, you know?
Oh, I know, man. But they were like, they just had this group of people and nobody ever said, none of them ever said, "Ah, fuck it, man. We're just playing around. This shit ain't never going to work." No, none of them ever said that. They were like, "We're going to the top. We're going to make it to the top. Everybody here is going to make it. We're going to support each other." And they did. So I was, when they were circulating the microphone around the room, I was like, "Man, I got to ask Matt Hardy," because I was at this show. Man, this was 1997. And the station I was working at in Eastern North Carolina, ECW was ruling the land in my mind, right? ECW was the shit. It was the first time I ever saw ECW was on the America One Network on those fucking UHF stations, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they were promoting this hardcore, I think it was Greg Price, dude. I'm pretty sure it was Greg Price, the Charlotte boy who does all the shit down there.
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah.
He was promoting this hardcore show up at this bar in Greenville. I knew a dude who was DJing up at that bar in Greenville. Like, "Yeah, man, if you want to, you know, have some of the dudes on the show, we can co-promote with the station, whatever." I'm like, "Let's do it." And it was supposed to be Tommy Dreamer was a special guest. But for some reason or other, Tommy Dreamer canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, Greg Price flies in. Rob Van Dam, but it's not just Rob Van Dam. It's also Rob Van Dam's best buddy in the whole world, Sabu. So they get in the ring at the beginning of the show. He goes, "Man," Rob Van Dam and Sabu were like, "Man, we got to look at these fucking local tag teams here." And they had like three tag teams in there. Some dudes had like a military gimmick on, and I can't remember what those dudes are. And it seemed like there was a couple of black guys. And then there was these Hardy boys, these kids. And I'm like, "Well, I've been hearing something about these dudes. I think they just signed a developmental deal with the WWE or something." Next thing you know, the Hardy Boys attack Rob Van Dam and Sabu, and they go, "Oh, I guess we know who our opponents are going to be later on tonight." So I think this makes it to Matt's book. They start with this fucking match, and they are brawling all over that bar. And I start hearing shit from, like, the staff that they're kind of pissed because they fucked up their pinball machine or their pool table or something because they're beating the shit out of each other all over this fucking bar. And they go for the final – you know, Van Dam and Sabu had this move, and I think you've probably seen it, where they lay the dudes up on the table and they come off opposite corners and leg drop the shit out of them.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it. And the ceiling from where the fucking ring is set up is like, if you stand up in that corner, your head is going to be about 5 inches from the top of that ceiling, maybe. So they set them up in the corner for that move. And then they come off and they kill them and they beat the Hardy Boys and everybody goes home happy, right? Right. Well, I go up and I was thinking about, I mean, I should say something to Matt about that. If they circulate this microphone, I didn't say no, but I went up and I shook Matt's hand and I forgot to ask. I said, "Man, I was at that show. I was at that fucking show." Well, I tweeted him when I got home and I said, "Matt, I meant to tell you, man, when I shook your hand at, I was at that show at Cowboys, that infamous Sabu and Rob Van Dam thing." And Stutz goes, "Oh shit, man. I used to have a handheld of that, like back in the tape trading days and shit." And I went, "Stutzy, that shit was everything that you were told it was."
And by the way, Stutzy,
Stutzy is Scribe, if you remember all the vignettes.
Absolutely.
From, back in the day, he was the Scribe. So
a certified FYI. Wrestling genius. We've had him on the show before.
Oh, God, yes.
He knows way more about wrestling than we ever will or anybody ever will, and he booked all that shit for Saturday for Tracy.
He's been on here several times, too, by the way.
He has, yeah. We could talk to him about anything and everything.
Here's the tweet.
There's the tweet. So I sent the thing to Matt, and I said, man, when I shook your hand, I forgot to tell you. I was at that infamous match at Cowboys in Greenville, man, when they leg dropped the shit, and Matt Hardy, you can see it if you're watching. Matt goes, man, I'm sorry. I'm glad you were at the Omega Pen. I'm glad you dug it, and I'm also glad that you were at that thing in 1997. And then he shows he's got the end of it with Sabu and Van Dam doing the leg drop on him and his brother. And I'm telling you, fucking Jeff Hardy was 17, maybe.
Maybe
17 in 1997.
WWE shit,
exactly. So he shouldn't have even been in the bar, number one.
Number one.
And number two, he probably shouldn't have been having somebody's leg driving through a table.
Probably not.
So Matt Hardy tweeted me, and a whole lot of people have liked it, and it was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I remember New Jack, I think that was his name, doing something to that guy that was 16, 17 years old or something.
Yeah. That's a little different.
Yeah, but oh, okay. Just want him to be careful when he's out there.
So, yeah, that was a pretty special memory, and that was cool of him to do. Also, since I get to beat you at Twitter not very often, you saw that Karen Jarrett also tweeted me, right? From the Katie Vick Alive account, at Katie Vick Alive.
No, she tweeted the Katie Vick account?
Yes, because I said, hey, Jeff Jarrett did not have his last Outlaw gimmicks ready, man. He didn't have all of his... He had slap nut shit, and he had all that other stuff, but he didn't have no Last Outlaw t-shirts and shit, you know, for his new gimmick. And I said, but nobody noticed because they were looking at his smoking hot wife, and I tagged her in there.
I did see that. That's all.
And then she liked it, and then she put like a little hand over her mouth face thing on there and tweeted me back.
That's awesome, man. We were trying to get over to talk to him for a second, but his line kind of got crazy there.
Oh, he was doing very well.
Yeah.
We went by there, and of course, Karen Jarrett was fucking gimmicked out to the nines.
Oh, my gosh.
I went by Brian, and I went, yeah, man, Karen Jarrett really let herself go, didn't she?
Whoa. Just that horrible woman, stuff, man. She's a hag.
She can't help but be hot, man. I'm telling you.
I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
You could drag her through a sewer, and that woman would be hot as fuck when she came out. I don't give a shit who you are, man.
It's just there.
Back in the day, they were like, boy, Jeff, you're really kind of fucking up your spot here at TNA by trying to get with her. And I don't give a fuck, man. I do the same thing, and I'd do it 10 times over if I was Jeff Jarrett. I don't give a fuck, man.
It seemed to work out.
And if I had to lie to Dixie, I'd lie to Dixie. And if Dixie's mama was around, I had to lie to her, I'd lie to her. I don't give a fuck.
No doubt, man. She really is impressive. I mean, the last time she was on TV, I don't even remember the last time she was on TV, to be honest. But TV just she's just one of those people that TV doesn't do justice to, for sure.
Absolutely. 100%. I'll say... Let me just see. The hottest women that I saw. Who were the hottest women we saw at WrestleCade? Summer Rae's top five. I'm going to do top five.
Oh, like overall or just this year?
Yeah, overall. Overall this year.
Overall this year. Okay.
Karen Jarrett. I'm going to say Summer Rae.
Yes.
I'm going to say Kimberly.
Yes. God, yeah, Kimberly. Whoa, goodness.
I'm going to say Saraya. Saraya's in my top five.
I'm telling you, she was impressive. I've got to tell you.
And I'm gonna say Mickie James. That's my top five right there.
Oh yeah, and that damn dress.
You can put she had suit. That. Oh, she had that cowgirl outfit on.
That's what it was. When that
Mickie James was
like lavender or whatever.
Oh, that, she was bad as fuck. I don't give a shit what anybody says. That chick was bad as fuck.
And then asterisk for Nick Aldis, who was standing right beside of her, decked out in his shit. Oh my god.
I'm glad that he
007 and shit.
So I'm glad that he. I'm glad he got rid of Billy Corgan, man. Billy Corgan's like another crazy ass motherfucker.
Well, you know they're trying to bury him, right?
They're trying to bury Nick Aldis.
Taking a hike, basically.
Whatever.
They're saying that, you know, he's you know, he's in it for himself, and you know, he doesn't think about the company, and the, you know, oh, that bullshit, you know.
Please,
that bullshit.
You ain't no team player. Fuck you.
That's basically what it was in a nutshell. That's what I got out of it.
You put that belt on who you, man. We've talked to people in line and shit, and they were like, "You're inviting me not to at all like your product, and you're telling me to take a hide if I don't like you, who your champion is." Bye. Well,
What did he say to you? What did that guy say to you? He's like, "I don't even know where to go to get that."
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, "I'm with you, brother."
I hope people have had a chance to go to the at Katie Vick Alive account or go to check out my Instagram at BDubForReals to see the picture that we took with referee Aubrey.
That's so classic, dude. Fucking
fantastic. I was trying to do shit that not everybody would do.
Yes. Yes.
But I was thinking on the way, I'm like, what am I going to do with Aubrey? I don't want her to, like, I just want to take a picture. I'm like, hey, I'm going to have her throw my ass out.
That's so perfect. So perfect.
So she's throwing me out. And as I'm telling her what I want, she goes, "Well, it's a picture, not a gift."
Well, yeah, I know, but I should have popped up the Earl Hebner picture like this.
I wish she would have worn the referee shirt, but that's just a minor bitch. I'm just glad she came because she lives
Seattle
like in Seattle.
Right?
So, man, for her to come, I hope she had a good time, and I hope she comes back because, man, it's just a lot of love out and support for her, man.
No doubt. And, and every time we went by her, two or three, four times went by her, there was always someone at her table. So, I mean, you know.
And then
came to see her.
I had a good experience with Kimberly Page. She was great. She wasn't like overly friendly. She's a fairly shy person. She was talking to Mark Miro, but I had a great experience with her, and I'm glad she came and hope she comes back. But the main event for both of us, man, them boys.
Good Lord, yes.
Fucking straight out of Delaware.
Lord,
man, we've been waiting for fucking years to have our picture taken with them boys.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's hard enough to even see them wrestle anywhere around here, much less meet them. And it seems like, you know, over the years, they've kind of dwindled in the places they go and the things they do. So that's made it even harder. But for whatever reason, you know, they came this year, and I saw they went to the thing last night at Dorton Arena. So
the first time we ever saw Dem Boys live was at an ROH event at the Special Event Center in Greensboro.
First and last time in Greensboro.
And Cornette was booking, and Cornette pitched a fit because they fucked him over with the setup, and he, you know, the whole thing that he does. So they never came back, but they had like an hour. I want to say it was like an hour and 45, hour and 50 minute match,
supposed
to be the North American record or some shit. I just remember at the very end, fucking, do you remember Cornette running out with that stopwatch?
Like, yes, I do.
I believe I got it. Well, that's the record right there. Goddamn.
I believe that was verbatim.
So Jay and Mark are on the fucking apron and they don't come in the match for like 30 minutes. And me and Brian are right behind. We want Briscoes. We want Briscoes. And I remember.
And when he says me and Bryant, it was me and Bryant.
That's right.
It was,
and then some people joined it after we started.
Yeah, after we started it, yes.
And then if you remember, I don't know because it's been a long time ago, but Jay goes, "Hey, what do y'all want?" That's good as fuck. So I said, you know, I know them boys are like me, man. They're part of Raider Nation. It's been tough to be a Raider fan this year. You know, our quarterback cried a few weeks ago. We've blown 17-point leads three fucking times this year, but, you know, we're going to hang tough. I got me a Derek Carr jersey. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna have these guys pose with this shit. So I brought my Derek Carr jersey, man. I tucked it in my pants. I said, "Man, I've been waiting 10 motherfucking years. And I knew y'all were here because I could smell chicken." And I pulled out that shirt and I went, "Man, we got to pose with this." And Jay goes, "Yeah, man, it's been kind of hard this year." And I know us. I said, "That's when we got to stay tough, man. That's when we got to stay true." So we took the picture with that, holding up that Derek Carr jersey. And what do you know? We brought him some luck, baby. We brought him some luck.
See what happens?
Overtime in Seattle, Derek Carr, the greatest quarterback in NFL history in overtime with at least 10 overtime appearances. My man is now 9-2. 9-2 in overtime games played in his fucking career. Nobody with 10 or more overtime appearances is as good as that man. And now I told Jay, I think this morning, like, this is it now. We're going to win 6 in a row now, make the playoffs. Be 10-7 for the year. You got to keep hope alive. So,
yeah, don't tell me it wasn't any Briscoe karma involved in that.
And man, the Briscoes were awesome. They were everything we thought they would be.
Everything. Everything.
I want to, and Meltzer was tweeting about it again this weekend, and I just want to address it again. He's talking about how they can't be on television for the shit that Jay said all them years ago about gay people or whatnot. Man, and I'm not saying Meltzer's wrong for that. I know that there's still people thinking about that shit. Man, it's been many, many years, and the man's actions have spoken a lot louder, and we got to put this shit behind us at some point, man, a step forward. These dudes have been very clear that they are they're not anti-gay. They're not homophobic in any way. They are not against the trans community. And for this to hang over their heads is a reason for them not to be in AEW or them for not to be on television, this or that. Man, that shit's got to go away.
I agree. And I totally agree with everything you said there. And I think to back us up, you know, look who is a NWA champ right now.
Yeah, see? That shit is like, it's so in your face, and he's unrepentant and all that shit. And like, you know, people talk about the cancel culture and whatnot. I agree that sometimes this shit goes too far, but I also believe there's a track record there for the Briscoes, man. He suffered a penalty for it.
He did.
He's been contrite for it the whole time. The track record shows that these are good guys and they are not people that are haters. So I don't understand, like, you know, early on at that show you went to, when you saw the Acclaim, they said some shit about Julia Hart that got them in trouble for a minute or two. That's not the definition of everything that the Acclaim done. Look at what they do now, man. They're over as fuck in that promotion, right?
Oh, yeah, top three, easy.
I think it's ridiculous if that's what's holding them back from being signed by AEW. And you got to get over that shit at some point. This is a very talented tag team. If you could have that match right now, if you could have Young Bucks against the Briscoes right now, man, I don't understand. If you could have that on Wednesday night, or if you could have, I would, as much as you and I hate multiple matches and shit like that, having multiple participants, if it was FTR, Young Bucks, and Briscoes in a match on Wednesday Night Dynamite or at a pay-per-view.
Well, there are exceptions. There are exceptions to everything, my man.
Now, Brian, what I want you to do right now is to tell me, who was the surprise overperformer of the weekend based on everything that we saw, merch that we saw, support that we saw, and everything else? Who was the over-the-top winner of the WrestleCade weekend?
Oh, Lord.
Don't overthink this, because you're not talking about
it. I think I know who it is, but I am starting to overthink it. Okay, I'm just going to say it, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Are you talking about Stutzy?
I'm talking about Danhausen.
As far as like that. Okay.
Danhausen was the
MVP kind of thing. Okay. Yes.
The most over. Yes. You and I are not huge fans. I don't get it. I don't hate the guy, but I also, I'm kind of like, I'm ambivalent. T-shirts, people with the makeup on, the line, this dude is fucking over. I mean, I may not be into it. It may not be my cup of tea, but I'm also not blind. That dude won the weekend.
Hey, man. I mean, there was so much merch and lines there for him. Even Dale Torborg in his Gene Simmons outfit was going, damn.
That's exactly right, man. That was a trip and a half. That was the I wanted that picture to be made. Can I get Bischoff and Torborg together? Can I get them? I just get 50 to get y'all take that picture together. And then we were thinking maybe if Sid was there, him and Arn could take a picture with like a pair of scissors for like.
That'd be great.
Arn would fucking do that shit. Arn would go.
I'm like, where's the scissors? Give me the scissors. Yeah.
Danhausen. God, I mean, you got to give it to – that dude has hustled his ass off to get where he is. And I'm – man, hats off to him, man. It ain't my thing, but he was undeniably the winner of the weekend, man.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I did – I overthink that a little bit. But, yeah, I think for me last year, who do you think it was last year? Do you remember last year? Who would you say it was last year? I know who I think it was last year.
I'm trying to remember.
It's close to Danhausen. I'll give you the hint. It's somebody very.
Was it Darby? Was Darby there?
No, but you're in the right area. And
oh, the Stinger?
No.
Who was it?
Thunder Rosa.
Oh yeah, she had a good weekend.
I mean, that line was incredible last year. Yeah. Good job.
She had a good weekend.
But yeah, Danhausen, man. See, and I think that was up to, and I remember where that line was going back to what I was talking about, that guy's complaint on Facebook. That one little corner in that one room that always gets jammed up every year,
even with
those other two rooms there. I mean, it seems like they just put too many people that won't, you know, autographs and pictures and shit all right there in that little corner for some reason. And he was up in that damn corner, man. I couldn't even see him. It was so congested through there.
That was the room that like Wildcat Chris Harris and James Storm were in. And then Jordan was there, and you didn't even see Jordan. She was along that back wall.
I didn't see her, man. I should have looked a little closer because all those Impact people were kind of right there together.
But it was such a fun time, and I'm looking forward to next year. I'd love to see. I'm trying to think of who else that I would like to see. I'm always going to want MJF to come.
Yeah, man. Can you imagine the line for that shit?
That would be insane. That would be crazy. He's my guy. I would love to see that dude for sure. But it was good to see, like, again, old friends and new, and people are doing well. Buff Bagwell looks like he's cleaned up. Looks like he's looking good. Yeah, he looked real cool. You know, relapse is a part of recovery, dude. I mean, that's just the bottom line with all that.
And I tell you, and we talked about this too when after we got through and everything, just kind of talking about everything, that it's like this year – all in all, we didn't really take that many pictures with people. I mean,
we just really enjoy seeing people and hanging out with the fans and stuff. And we don't usually like as far as nothing against the vendors and shit like that, because people got to make a living. I know people want the merch, and a lot of people get their Christmas presents and shit like that. And I'm totally cool with all that. But I've got so much shit in my house, dude. I don't want like another.
For real. Absolutely.
So it's like I've got a few pieces of memorabilia that I love. You know, I got my my Survivor Series chair, which is, you know, and I had to.
That's awesome. That thing is awesome, dude.
And that was another great conversation I had with Matt, you know, a few years ago he was like, hey, man, how'd you get that? I was like, well, I was working for a radio station. We got Ringside, and I've had that for years. And he goes, yeah, that's when we had a little problem with Bubba Ray kind of missed a kick, knocked a couple of my teeth out during that match.
That was funny.
You got any more, any other closing thoughts on WrestleCade, maybe who you want to see next year and shit like that?
Yeah. We always want, and another part, I think you probably would agree to this, that bad dude Tito needs to get his ass out there.
Yeah, it's time. It's time.
Fucking around.
He's over. I mean, he's so fucking over in Japan, dude.
I know. And did you notice this year, speaking of that Jay White's line was substantially smaller last year.
Yep.
And I mean, there wasn't even a line. We just walked right up to him. But this year, man, it was like, good God.
Hey, when you become the champ, Brian's got that belt right over his shoulder, bro. He's got IWGP. We need to have Bad Dude Tito needs to be there. I'm going to say Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa need to come.
Yes, yes, yes. Get the Von Erichs out there.
I want to see Jeff Cobb. I want to see.
Oh, God, yes, yes.
I want to see all of those dudes, man. I definitely want to see those dudes.
Yeah, that's probably the ones I probably would say. It was good to see Rachel. You know, we always say hello to Rachel.
Love Rachel. Rachel and Chris Hero, right?
And Chris, yeah. They had a lot of people going on at their table, to be honest.
We forgot to mention during the Omega panel, one of the big pieces of the Omega thing, one of the big parts of the promotion was Tracy Cottle, who's Trevor Lee or Cameron Grimes' dad. Died suddenly a couple of years ago, but he was a big part of being friends with the Hardys and everything. And when we get Marty on the show, I'm going to ask him like if he remembers Trevor as a little kid, and if they thought, you know, at some point, hey, this kid's going to be, you know, kind of magical in the way that he is.
I know, and I, you know, speaking of that, it was, and you said earlier that neither one of us really knew a whole lot about Omega. You probably knew a little bit more even than me, but. Hearing those stories from those people, I mean, it's almost like I had seen it, but the way they were telling the stories, it was I could relate to it or something. But yeah, they were really good, and I totally got everything they were talking about.
There's always going to be somebody that always like tries to shit on your dreams, but like when you have a group of people like, yeah, man, you could do that. Yeah, we'll do that together. I mean, there's just something special, and that's why those guys are 25 years later still have that incredible bond.
I know. The last thing I'll say about the panel is, and I was going to ask you this, and I'm like, I'm going to wait and get your true reaction on here on the podcast. Did you in your heart think there was a chance that Jeff Hardy was going to come out there.
Slight chance. Slightest of all slight chances.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
Slight. I mean, it would have been amazing. I didn't think Jeff Hardy was going to show up, but I did think Willow the Wisp was.
Okay. Well, they could have got away with that, probably.
They had a great story about, like, they had a match. It was like Belt against Mask. Mad against Jeff when Matt was Surge. And and then Jeff was Willow. And even after the match was over, Jeff takes off the mask, unmasks himself, talks about from the heart about being in his brother's shadow and shit. And like, he surprised people because they didn't know that was Jeff Hardy underneath that fucking mask. Even though Jeff drove across town with a fucking car with a license plate that said Willow on it.
Go figure.
Now, I'll say this. When I saw Will of the Wisp in fucking TNA, I thought that boy's on drugs right there. wasn't it like a blinking red light that was like, oh, this dude's fucking high. He's not just like smoking some weed. He's on like ayahuasca mixed with like fucking ammonia or something.
We're way past weed.
Way past. Let's go over some of the Survivor Series shit. Speaking of Survivor Series, weird event because it seemed like the baby faces always had the advantage, which I think is the opposite of what like War Games is supposed to be.
Well, I didn't know that, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point of it. It's like they would have it every year when Dusty would do it, they would have the coin flip. And for some reason every year, oh man, the heels won the coin flip again. So they get to beat. They get to beat down on a hapless, you know, baby face. And then another baby face comes in to rescue them. And then the advantage is back to the heels. And then you just keep it pop after pop after pop. And then eventually Dusty comes in at the end, bionic elbows the shit out of everybody, and the baby faces win, right?
Okay. Yeah. I totally get that. That's usually the case.
That's how it's supposed to be. That's not kind of how the WWE did it.
Well, you know, and now that you say that, I'm thinking about it. And yeah, but I think they did it well, even if they did it, because it wasn't like the baby faces got a huge advantage really at any point in time. I mean, I don't remember they set it up in a way that every time that the baby faces would get a huge advantage, everybody would be laid out basically or something like that by, you know, when the guy was let out of the cage or let out of the cage, I guess, to come down to the other cage. So I just think the way they did it made it seem legit, since, you know, it wasn't for four straight times the baby faces just pounded the shit out of them for 5 minutes until it was even, you know, it wasn't anything like that. I don't think. Maybe at the very, very beginning when it was 2-on-1 that was about the most I'd seen that they were really getting, the baby faces were getting an overwhelming advantage. And that wasn't even that long.
It's a big story as far as SmackDown goes, that Becky Lynch came back and she was on Team Bel-Air. And then she is the star of the show, as Becky Lynch actually wins Survivor Series for the Team Bel-Air. What'd you think of that?
That was pretty good. I knew she was coming back. I just wasn't sure when. But, yeah, it was pretty good. I liked the way they did that. But here's my prediction. I'm just going to say this right now before I change my mind. Royal Rumble. Bianca Belair goes heel. I'm going to say it. I don't know what's going to happen at Royal Rumble. I don't know what she's going to be doing, but I'm going to say she goes heel.
I don't know about her as a heel.
Didn't you see her as a heel in NXT?
Yeah, holy but shit. it was mostly about her being cocky with the hair and shit, right?
That was her thing mainly, but I mean, she could talk it. I mean, she played it up. I thought she was really good as a heel.
That's interesting, but she's been a really good babyface for a while now.
Well, I think they're waiting on another babyface to come along, maybe to take her place, to get some merch sales and that sort of shit, maybe. But and since Becky's back now, that might be when they let Bianca go heel, and it might be a thing that she turns on Becky, you know, some sort of thing, you know. So I don't know. That's just my prediction. I just think she's been a baby face for so long now, it seems like. And at just some point, you know, they're going to pull the trigger, I think. Because I think she's really good at being a heel. So
I don't know. I don't know how she's going to do falling back into it. And there's some people on the main, you know, as far as her being on the main roster, who haven't really seen her do that. So
for sure, man.
She might fall right back into it. Hey, you know what? The big deal with that whole situation as far as like WrestleMania, as we go into WrestleMania season, we're always.
It feels like WrestleMania season.
It does, doesn't it? You know, Cody's comeback could be right around the corner. We could be seeing a Cody, you know, Royal Rumble's just 6 weeks, 7 weeks away.
Yeah.
You never know when Cody could be coming back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They've kept it really, really quiet. But
yeah, they have. AJ Styles against Finn Balor, and it is Styles defeating Balor. There was a melee at ringside between Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest and the Good Brothers and all that stuff.
What'd I saw most of that. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I figured that would be good, though. I mean, goddamn, Finn Balor and AJ. What do you think? What would you expect? What else would you expect?
There's a lot of high expectations. I mean, that's the main thing is those guys are going to be – the big enemy is going to be the expectations that those two are going to have anyway.
Right. And I kept it in perspective. I know both of them aren't in their 20s, early 30s anymore, but they can still do their shit, and they still look good doing it. So, you know.
And then
I thought it was good.
I don't think anybody could have predicted a real stinker between Ronda Rousey and Shotzi. That was not a good match at all.
Yeah, I saw some pretty bad criticisms. I get critiques of that, man. I actually didn't see it. I was kind of between things and missed it.
That's potentially the worst match that Ronda Rousey has had since she's been in pro wrestling.
Do you think it was more her fault or more Shotzi's fault? Because Shotzi gets a lot of shit for, you know, ring.
I think that's pretty easy, and that's like that's kind of a casual thing. I just don't think there's a lot of chemistry between those two at all. You know what I'm saying? Some people you just can't work together that well. I just don't see those guys as having a lot of chemistry and stuff.
I agree. Well, here's the thing. I don't think Shotzi really vibes with anybody really well. I mean, she's good, but I think she's kind of, I don't know. She's kind of Sammy Callahan-ish, you know? I don't know.
Sammy Callahan, man, just the most useless dude ever.
I told you, man, you should have went over there and told him that.
Dude, I'm over, man. I've got heel heat. I don't know. You know, you have go away white heat.
Yes, big time.
You have,
but I don't know. And I think Ronda, you know, and at the same time, no, not to shit on Shotzi. I'm not trying to shit on Shotzi. I just think her way of wrestling, and I like her, you know, to be honest, but I think her way of wrestling is a little, I don't know, say, I don't say reckless because I'm not a wrestler. I don't know exactly how other wrestlers feel about her, but she doesn't look that bad. Misses some shit, but a lot of miss stuff. But, I just think a lot of times her stuff doesn't mesh well with everybody else.
United States Championship on the line.
Seth and Ronda, I don't think Ronda really, you know, meshes well with people.
I had a lot of criticisms of Ronda right before her first match. I didn't think she promoed very well. I didn't think she had a lot of charisma, and she wasn't. But then Triple H in that first match with that tag match with him and Stephanie, he laid out the best shit ever and made it was like the best first match anybody's ever had at that.
Oh God, yeah, that was absolutely.
And from then on, she's been very good. But the magic, I just don't think there's any chemistry between the two of them at all.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like I said, I didn't see it, but I believe it, man. I can pretty much picture it in my head almost.
The United States Championship on the line. Seth Rollins, your champion, taking on Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory, and we have a new champion, Brian. It is Austin Theory, the man who fucked up Money in the Bank completely, did actually win the match. He is your new United States champion.
I guess that's redemption. Redemption for Theory.
Yes. I still don't know how they really feel about him. I know Vince alternately loved him and hated him, and I don't know how Paul really feels about him, so I'm not sure.
Well, you know, Cornette loves him. I know that.
Yeah.
I guess he does. I really haven't heard him say anything about him lately, but when he first kind of showed up, I think
it's usually the Cornette comments like, God damn, whose wife did he fuck? God damn. Because they bury that shit.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I don't know, man. I guess I'm not really shocked that he won. I didn't really know what was going on with that match, but yeah, I guess they still, I mean, I guess Paul still likes him. Paul likes him too, to give him the belt like that.
War Games Team Bloodline against Team Brawling Brutes. The story of this match is that they send Sami Zayn down to rescue the day. And then Kevin Owens tries to talk to him and say, this is not who you are. These people do not like you. They hate you. And eventually, Sami Zayn turns on his friend Kevin Owens, and it's Team Bloodline defeating Team Brawling Brutes in a really, really good main event.
It was awesome, man. It was really good, man. And I'm not the biggest Brawling Brutes fan, but I like all those guys individually. It's weird. I like all those guys individually, but as a group, I think it's just the name. I think the name just rubs off on everything for me, and I just like, ugh. But individually, I really like those guys. So that being said, yeah, it was a great freaking match. I love that shit. It was really good. I was really impressed. I was overly impressed, I guess.
They, Sheamus has had a good year. You have to say that Sheamus has had a good year.
Oh, that match with Gunther?
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
It's he's done some good shit this year, honestly. So yeah, overall, Survivor Series had some good stuff in it for sure.
And that Sami Zayn, just when you think that, well, at least I thought when this Sami Zayn thing is getting ready to, you know, come to an end and go to the next phase, they just extended it, man. They just put a, you know, signed an extension to it. He's after doing that, you know,
Sami's had like maybe his best year ever as a pro wrestler, I think.
Oh yeah. I think he's right behind Sheamus, right there with Sheamus, maybe even ahead of Sheamus as far as, you know, overall, you know, I don't want to say wrestler of the year, but just comeback wrestler of the year, something like that. I don't know. But yeah, both of them just been really big for WWE.
We are a little bit behind as far as Full Gear, but I saw Full Gear last Saturday night. And I really thought the Jamie Hayter and Tony Storm thing was really, really good in a very difficult spot on that card. And as usual, the Young Bucks can carry on my wayward nuts.
I'm glad you changed our name.
Seeing those guys come out to that stupid fucking song and having them pose and everybody cheer for them. And then to see those schmucks, those dickheads come out on Dynamite and use Go to Sleep and then Kenny Omega to be all. If they eventually pay this off with Punk coming back, I'll eat all of my words. But as of right now, those guys are the biggest marked dicks in the history of the world.
Yeah, yeah. As it stands right now, yes, you are correct. And I told you, man, if I'd have seen that, I'd have probably literally vomited.
Shit was ridiculous.
Leaned over the chair and yacked.
And fucking Tony Khan paying $50,000 or whatever he's paying to license that song. Holy shit.
I hope Kansas takes him to damn school on whatever they charge.
I do. I hope they milk every. Did you see that? The Jacksonville Jaguars, the mascot from yesterday?
Did I see? No, what? I don't think so.
I posted a picture of it. He's got.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. I was like, yeah, maybe I did see that.
He's got
yeah.
the Speedo on for some reason.
Yes.
It was really funny during the game. They ended up beating the Ravens.
Yeah,
he's underneath the field goal when Justin Tucker's trying to hit that 67 or 68 yarder to win it. He's over there, Justin Tucker. It's like, if they don't have that motherfucker teaming up with Orange Cassidy this Wednesday night in that Speedo, Tony Khan can't promote shit, and Dave Meltzer should take him off the ballot for Booker of the Year. I'm gonna tell you right now, you need to go take a look at that fucking Jacksonville Jaguars if you have not seen him. In the Speedo, the red, white, and blue Speedo, mind you, from Duval County, Florida.
Yeah, so I remember seeing it now. I can't remember.
Are you looking at it right now on your phone?
I'm trying to find it.
I tweeted on the Katie Vick Live. I'm like, how is Tony Khan not booked this dude yet? Of all the shit, man. I couldn't believe it. It was really funny. It would be perfect. It would be, oh, there it is right there. There you go, Bryant.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one I said. That's it. Okay.
Looking like Chester Cheetah.
Chester, it does look like Chester Cheetah. That's like, what maybe.
How has that motherfucker not been on Dynamite? That's my prediction. Yo, y'all can take this to the bank. We've been right about a lot of this shit. This motherfucker is going to be on Dynamite.
Okay, there you go. And remember what we told? We didn't tell him, I don't think, but something at that Greensboro show that we're talking about, the ROH show.
Yeah.
What idea did we come up with that end up coming to fruition without
the dim,
our knowledge?
The Dim Boys t-shirts, man.
Thank you.
The Dim Thank Boys you. T-shirts, which they did not have for sale all them years ago, man.
They didn't have shit for sale at their table either, by the way. You noticed that. Pictures,
I think they just make too damn much money off that chicken farming, man.
They're only charging $30.
Oh, they did great. They had a nice the beautiful thing about the Briscoes, they had that beautiful banner behind them so that when you lined up for the picture, it said the Briscoes with their beautiful fucking smiling faces right there.
God dang.
I told Brian the story. I don't think Brian had heard this story. When they went at ROH and Sinclair bought them, they did a thing where they did like an IQ test on everybody on the roster just to kind of rank them, because it's like it's a corporate thing to do. It really doesn't matter. And they were like pretty much who you would think. Like the smartest guys in ROH, Nigel McGuinness tested off the charts. You know, really high IQ. Brian Danielson, huge IQ. Fucking Mark Briscoe was like the third smartest. It's like he's got an IQ of like 180 or something. It's preposterous.
Go figure, man.
How about it's that? Fucking preposterous. any other closing thoughts on another award-winning edition of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
Oh boy, what a week. With everything. Again, War Games lived up to expectations. I was happy with that. Did not see Full Gear. WrestleCade, freaking, it just amazes me every year. Every year I think it's going to be doesn't live up to expectations, but every year I'm wrong. One regret that I told you that I told you that every year that I always have like one regret after I leave for, you know, something or another. My regret this time was the fact that you and I were sitting there chit-chatting with Wildcat Chris Harris from America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
And I didn't get my picture made with him. He and or James Storm, who was there. He just had stepped away from the
table. Wandered away to go take a piss or something. But yeah.
Something, yeah.
Chris Harris, super nice guy.
Super nice guy. So nice, man.
Can't say enough about it. We always have all these regrets, but look at all the shit that we've done. I mean, we got to talk to Bobby Heaton, and now Bobby's no longer with us. We had great conversations with him.
I know. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, yes. That's one. Hell, I could probably go back and go, you know what? If I had one thing that we did that I'm really glad that we did, that was, you know, one of those moments 100%. For sure.
100%. Bryant is available on social media, Bry Sports, BRY Sports. That's on Twitter and on Instagram. Our show Twitter is at Katie Vick Alive. I am at Britt Whitmire, where the great Matt Hardy has tweeted me. BRITTWHITMIRE. It was really cool to get that clip in there too. And on Instagram, it's B-Dub for Reels, B-D-U-B, #4, REELZ. And you can help support what we do. It is Cyber Monday, which is a stupid thing to call it after all these years, but they still have great deals at Amazon. And our Amazon store is katievick.com. So check us out, katievick.com. We appreciate all your support. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.